Hello and welcome to The World Outside, our weekly podcast. I'm Maha Siddiqui. Dramatic and unprecedented scenes were witnessed in the U.S. Capitol last Wednesday, resulting in the House Democrats moving a resolution for the impeachment of U.S. President Donald Trump less than 10 days ahead of his term end. So what should we be expecting this week, and what bearing could it have on the future of the politics in America? I have with me the White House Bureau Chief for the Voice of America, Steve Herman. Many thanks, Steve, for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
Steve, firstly, the impeachment is usually a long process. America is barely 9 days away from the inauguration of the new president. Does it look even possible to remove President Trump from office so soon?
Well, we have to separate impeachment and removal from office. As you know, President Trump was impeached previously and remained in office. So this second impeachment can and probably will be done this week, perhaps on Wednesday, by the House of Representatives. But for the president to be removed from office, that would require a conviction after a trial in the U.S. Senate. And that seems almost impossible at this point, as the Senate is not scheduled to reconvene until the 19th, one day before the inauguration of Joe Biden.
So, Steve, if the idea is to remove the president from office, considering many have already said that he seems to be dangerous, then is acting under the 25th Amendment likely to be a faster process to remove the president, or is just a point being made by moving the impeachment motion?
Well, what the Democrats have said, who control the House, is if the vice president doesn't move to get the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove the president, then they will move ahead with the impeachment process. The Vice President Mike Pence did meet in the Oval Office with President Trump on Monday evening. I confirmed that with a senior administration official just a short while ago. So there's no indication that the Vice President's going to move against the President. And even if they were to invoke the 25th Amendment, the president has an appeals process, and of course the president is not going to agree to this. So the chances of the 25th Amendment removing President Trump from office before inauguration day for Joe Biden are slim to none.
Steve, there's also a lot of talk about the president pardoning himself in the aftermath of what happened on Wednesday in the U.S. Capitol. What are the chances of that, and how is that being perceived in America?
Well, there's actually a good chance he may do that. Now, whether that will hold up legally, we don't know, because it would be something unprecedented. Right now, the president, as at his lowest point of popularity that he has seen during his term because of the events that occurred on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. So except with the hardcore Trump supporters, this would be a very unpopular move. But this president, who time and time again has done numerous unprecedented things, may do that, especially after increased legal jeopardy that he faces as a result of being accused by members of Congress of engaging in insurrection by exhorting the crowd on January 6th that he would go down to the Capitol with them.
Steve, you know, many people outside America who were watching these visuals on the 6th were simply aghast at what was happening in the U.S. Capitol. Many are also of the belief that this couldn't have happened spontaneously, that the supporters could have just been incited and they just went inside the Capitol on a rampage. Many believe outside that this perhaps could be a larger, bigger conspiracy. Are those kind of conspiracy theories swirling in America as well?
Certainly. And we're going to have an investigation, and there will be numerous investigations by different agencies of the government and committees of Congress. And perhaps we'll find out that it was something in between a totally spontaneous event and a well-organized conspiracy. What it does appear is you can see from watching those videos, there were a number of people out of the crowd of thousands who appeared to be well-equipped, carrying zip ties to handcuff people, for example, carrying weapons, having body armor, having two-way radios to be in communications with people. That was a minority of the crowd, and whether they knew that they could use the larger disorganized crowd as a distraction to try to achieve what they wanted remains to be seen. But of course, the bottom line is whether there was some sort of coordinated plan, it did not succeed in reaching any of the members of Congress and disrupting the electoral vote count. And so what we can say is, despite the unfortunate deaths, the injuries, the property destruction, democracy prevailed on January 6th and 7th in the United States.
Steve, on the 6th, it appeared that a lot of Republicans were totally embarrassed by what had happened in the U.S. Capitol. But since then, it appears that they have toned down their, anger against Donald Trump. What is it like really over there? I mean, that's the sense that we're getting sitting here in India. Is that anger against Donald Trump by his own party men now over?
Well, it's a mixed bag because the Republican Party is quite divided. There are some Trump diehard loyalists who are members of Congress, but the majority are certainly angry. Some in the House may join the Democrats in voting from impeachment. Now, whether there would be enough senators, 17 or so, to allow for removal of office after a Senate trial seems a much more difficult goal for the Democrats to reach. Now, we have also heard from one member of Congress who said he had spoken with his colleagues, Republicans, who said that they knew this was all a sham, that it was a farce, but that they had voted to disallow the electoral count, the electoral tabulation, because for fear of their lives and their families, as we saw with one senator, Leslie Graham, who was hounded by Trump supporters at Reagan Airport outside of Washington, D.C., and how the crowd at the Capitol turned on Mike Pence, the vice president, who had been a loyalist, absolute loyalist to Donald Trump for the 4 years of this presidency. So it may be valid that some of these members of Congress in private are furious with Trump, but did not believe the big lie of that the election was a fraud, but felt that they had to go along in public with it out of fear.
Steve, there were a lot of people in the White House who resigned in the aftermath of what happened in the U.S. Capitol. Did that embarrass President Trump adequately, or it didn't?
Well, he has lost now a few of his cabinet members, some other mostly mid-level personnel, a couple of senior officials. Obviously, there are a lot of things since January 6th that have gone south for Donald Trump. Precisely how he feels about it, we really don't know. He usually, as you know, expresses his feelings quite directly on Twitter. But that avenue of communication for him has been taken away from him. He has decided not to speak to the media. He has not held a news conference. There was the one, the video that was put out that he read off of a teleprompter. And when he was banned on Twitter that evening, there was supposed to be a second video that was to come out. So we may on Tuesday here have an opportunity to hear from the president. He is supposed to go to the Mexican border at Texas to talk about construction of the border wall. And it's obvious that he'll make remarks there, and he may interact with reporters while he's in Texas or traveling from the White House to Andrews Air Force Base to get on Air Force One. Sometimes he speaks on the South Lawn before boarding the helicopter. Sometimes he speaks under the wing of Air Force One at Andrews Air Force Base, or he may come back on the plane and speak to reporters. That remains to be seen.
Steve, are all these developments likely to overshadow the first few days of the Biden presidency?
Well, probably yes. When asked about this, the president-elect has indicated that he wants to leave this to Congress as far as what's going to happen with the process in the Senate, presuming that Congress this week goes ahead with impeachment. Now, one idea is to push off a trial in the Senate for after 100 days or so. Okay, that would allow the Senate, which would be in control of the Democrats because of their victories in Georgia, to focus on confirming the nominees for Joe Biden's cabinet. That's very important for this new administration to get done as soon as possible. Because by that time, Trump is already out of office anyway. And what the Senate would have to do is kind of a multi-step process to have a trial, convict the former president, and then perhaps take additional action to vote would be a straight up vote, 2/3 to convict for the trial. But then if they do that, then there could just be a majority vote to ensure that he couldn't run for president again. Will all of this get accomplished? It does seem like a bit of a long shot, despite the very intense, I would say white hot level of anger among almost every Democrat in Congress and many of the Republicans as well, directed at Donald Trump.
So my final question to you, Steve, what bearing could this have on the future of U.S. politics?
Well, I think what this whole episode has shown is that the United States is not immune to the sort of tumult and threats to democracy that we've seen in other countries over the decades. And we can look back at India in the period with Indira Gandhi, for example. And actually, we have had this happen in American history before. Of course, there was the Civil War in the 19th century, and in 1861, when Abraham Lincoln had won the election and they were counting the electoral votes, there was also a mob that wanted to get into the Congress to disrupt the counting of the electoral votes. The security was much better on that day in 1861 than it was on January 6th, 2021.
Steve, that was a really interesting podcast there with you. Many thanks for speaking with us.
Anytime. Always happy to participate.